Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU Athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, Sunshine Quality Solutions, Super Chevy Dealers, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. And Andre Champagne is our producer tonight. A packed show, got a lot to cover in 2 hours. LSU has a new football coach, Lane Kiffin, officially introduced to the media on Monday after arriving in Baton Rouge on Sunday. What a whirlwind it has been since the second half of the Texas A&M game. And guys, I don't know if we can catch our breath yet because it looks like the early signing period is going to be wild and crazy too, and we'll get to that a little bit as well. So a lot to get to here over the next couple of hours. We will hear from Peter Burns from the SEC Network. He will join us. Jarrett Roser will talk some recruiting. And we'll also have someone on from Ole Miss as well, or not from Ole Miss, but someone who covers Ole Miss. So, but first, let's get to the man that's been very busy, who has been kind of flying, you know, trying to stay under the radar as he was conducting a coaching search, and that is the athletics director for the LSU Tigers, Virge Ausberry. Virge, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. How you doing?
Doing well. I told Andre earlier, I got the dream team tonight. I got Todd, Glenn, and Jeff on the phone.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. I mean, how crazy has this – I know you said yesterday you've been involved in other coaching searches, and I would imagine each one's unique. Each one presents different challenges. But this one, I don't think you'll have anything like this ever again, I would imagine, Virge.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, and you know, we were ready for it. We moved in the future, but it was a search, and we had to give our best shot out there. We had many candidates who were very interested in coming to LSU, and that's the good part about it. With all that going on, just shows how strong our brand is. You know, we took some hits over the last 4 weeks, but at the end of the day, people understand what LSU football is about around the country. And they were very, very interested in this job. And a lot of calls, a lot of phone calls, a lot of meetings. It was a great process. And it was a good process for me to go through just to see that, you know, how much people value what we do here at LSU and how far ahead we are. A lot of people in this business. And LSU is one of the best jobs in the country. I've told people that many times before. We rank up there with Georgia and Ohio State. You look at jobs where the people, you know, we control our own recruiting and our own base in our states, and we don't compete with anybody. And that's make you so strong. And that's why we where we are today.
Hey, Virge, it's Todd. You mentioned just now that you know LSU did take some PR hits. A lot of people misunderstood things that were going on. It wasn't as delineated, I guess, as a lot of people would have liked it to have been. But that intro press conference yesterday for Lane Kiffin had the best energy, I think, that I've ever been around at an introductory press conference for any other coach. And it's just amazing. You talk about the strength of the LSU brand, but you had to take a lot of pride in leading that effort and seeing it culminate. Like it's almost like it was a national championship type parade or something.
It was, and that's the thing. That's the power of LSU, the people at LSU. We have great people. We have great people in his department. We have great boosters. We have great people at Tiger Athletic Foundation. We're just a great group, and I knew it would be like that, and you're right. As I said, Todd, earlier, those tingles you get in your stomach when you walk into that stadium and how important it is to be an LSU Tiger, all those things came back. And you see the pride in our former players, the former football players around the country who are just talking about just a beaming of pride about, wow, we got our coach. He was the number one coach on the board. Everybody waited for us, and we got the number one guy that we went for. You know, that doesn't happen many times in this business. And that shows the power and the strength of where we are as a program. And Skip Berkman always used to tell me, we LSU, we should be there. That's where we should be as a program.
Well, Verge, you said it right here about 3 weeks ago when you were on Tiger Rag Radio. We asked you the impact of the politics and the governor and so forth that got a lot of attention nationally. And you said that football coaches coach and there's not going to be any problem if they win. And you said there's no controversy with this search right here. And you were exactly right about that. So how smooth was it from beginning to end? Because you really never deviated from Lane at all. I think you talked to some other people just in case, but for the most part, it was Lane and Lane only, right?
It was Lane. He was our choice. He was our guy. We talked to some other people, had some great interests, and some people we considered and really had a good conversation with them about, hey, is that the guy, is that the person, you know, we should go for? But the conversation went well, and we had good meetings with other people. But at the end of the day, as I said, it kept coming back to Lane. Lane the guy, is Lane the one we want? What does he bring to the table? And you look at what he's done at Ole Miss. And I tell people, yeah, LSU is a different job. It's a big job. You know, we're a job who've been three coaches that won national championships, the SEC championships, playing the SEC championship games. That's LSU. And the person who handles this job is a guy who has two hands on the wheel. It's an 18-wheeler job. It's a big boy job. Many constituents and many constituencies that we have to deal with at LSU, and it had somebody to handle all of that. And that's why he was a guy that we thought was the person to take us to the next level.
Verge, Thursday, November 20th, Friday, November 21st, that's when I was hearing that everything was going smoothly for Lane. Later Friday is when Ross Dellinger wrote the story about the contract. Is that about the time you felt most comfortable that you had Lane, or was it even before that? When did you feel like it was 95% done?
Pretty much that Saturday of the Oklahoma game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My thing is, it's never done till something's signed. And nothing's ever done till, you know, you get him on that plane and get him to Baton Rouge. So I worked it where, you know, yeah, we felt we were in a good position. We felt we had it done. But at the same time, hey, you know what? Nothing is never done until something is signed and he's here in Baton Rouge. So we worked it like he wasn't the head coach here yet. And we just kept working and said, you know what? We have to finish this off. Let's get it across the line. And whatever we have to do to get across the line, let's keep working and get it done. Don't take up. Don't sleep at night. Don't be like, okay, you know, he's definitely coming to LSU. No, that doesn't happen. And as you see, a lot of programs get caught like that. I mean, we didn't want to get caught at the end.
Verge, one of the things that obviously caught a lot of people's attention was especially in the last week or so, was the back and forth between Lane when he pretty much had decided, or it seemed like he had decided he was going to come to LSU or at least leave Ole Miss, as far as the public perceived. And he was talking about, as he talked about a lot yesterday at the press conference, that he wanted to stay and coach the team. And that you said that LSU was willing to allow him to do that and wanted him to do that. Can you explain, A, why you wanted him to be able to finish coaching that team through the college football playoffs? B, how it would benefit both Ole Miss and LSU in your mind? And C, how you would react if the roles were reversed and it was you losing a coach to a SEC rival?
Okay, the first question, Todd, is, you know, we sitting down there with him and we were meeting with him. That question came up. The question came up is, hey, do if I wanted to coach, you know, my team in the college playoffs, would you let me do it? And the answer was yes. And he said, that's the most important question. We knew the timing. Look, this cycle of the way you have to do coaches now with the early recruiting signing period and the portal, we know that's important. We just told him, like, look, you make the announcement, you come to LSU, we do the press conference, you tell them you want to coach your team, then you coach your team. I think that's good for LSU. It's good publicity for LSU, and it shows you where we have a coach coaching in the playoffs and have a chance to win a national championship. And that's why we were pushing it. We were for it. In no time, we said, you know, that would be bad for us. He would have a staff down here. They'd be recruiting for us. He was making calls for us. We had no problems with that. On the other hand, you asked me about LSU. We let a coach do that. I think that's something we ought to discuss as a board and a president, where we would be and where this program at, and depending on where is he going also. And a lot of times it probably would be, might have the same answer as Ole Miss, but, you know, I can't answer that now because it hasn't happened to us. Right. But that's something that took a lot of people and a lot of involvement from a lot of people to make that decision.
We're talking to Virg Ausberry, LSU Athletic Director here on Tiger Rag Radio. Virg, you've been involved with a lot of these searches going back to when LSU hired Coach Saban. How did you keep your meeting with Lane from not being seen? I understand it might have been in the state of Mississippi. When was that about? And like, who was all there? If you can share a little bit, and how did you keep from being seen by the public?
Yeah, what costume did you wear?
we snuck in. You know, part of our team, it was three of us that met with the coaches. It was John Carmouche, he's on the board supervisor of the athletic council, and there was Julie Cromer, my executive athletic director here. We're the ones who went in and had the meeting. You know, these meetings, you work around great coaches. You don't sit up there and talk about, you know, what play you're going to run on 3rd and 8 or, you know, how your offense is going to be set up, how your defense is going to set up. You know, you're talking to great coaches and coaches who win. You sit up there and ask them, hey, look, what's it going to take? We would like you to be the coach at LSU. What is it going to take? What do you expect? Those expectations. What's the expectations of the athletic director and our relationship? And then, you know, we show them, you know, this is the NIL. This is where we are. This is where we need to be. What do you need it to be? How do you need it to look? And that's pretty much how you set this thing up. And we had the shortest meeting, I think, of anybody who met with him. Less about 1 hour and 10 minutes. It wasn't a long meeting. Skip Berkman and Nick Saban to tell me, you don't insult the coach. You know, going there and telling the coach, well, okay, now tell me what you do. Most guys, I do know football, but most ADs don't even know football. And they ask questions that, you know, you're really insulting the guy. You don't go to Jay Johnson, we interview him and ask him, what you going to do in the 7th inning, what pitcher you going to use? Or, you know, ask Kim Mulkey, you know, you're going to run a fast-paced offense, a triangle, or whatever type of offense she wants to run. So those are things that we, you know, you don't insult coaches. You say, hey, look, we here, you're our guy, you're our woman. What does it take for you to be successful? That's what we do.
Well, Virg, congratulations on the hire. I believe most LSU fans are excited about it, and I think every one of us is waiting and or can't wait for the Lane Kiffin experience to really get going. I think we're starting to already recognize it with this National Signing Day, but it should be a fun ride with Lane. Thanks a lot for your time. Get some sleep, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Thank you. Go Tigers.
All right.
Thanks, Virg.
Virg Ausberry, the athletics director for LSU. We'll take a break and come back with more from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Gwen Gilbo. Good conversation there with Verge Osbury. Always great that he takes time to talk with us, and it's great that we can just call him the athletics director and not some long title like he had previously. And coming up a little bit later on, we're going to hear from, actually in the next segment, Michael Katz from Northeast Mississippi Journal. We'll continue to get the fallout from Oxford on Lane Kiffin's decision to leave the Rebels and become the next head coach of the LSU Tigers. But Todd, in one of your questions to Verge, you talked about the energy that Lane Kiffin had, and it was you felt it more, if you would, than other previous press conferences. And this is one of my feelings about the whole situation. Take Ed Orgeron out of it, because Louisiana guy, LSU assistant, very familiar with everything that is about LSU. But the other three, I guess the last three head coaching hires, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Brian Kelly, none of those guys ever coached in Tiger Stadium prior to coming to LSU. And Glenn, maybe you can even back me up on this. When Nick Saban got here, it was like, yeah, I've coached in big stadiums. I've been to the Big House. I've coached in the NFL. You know, Tiger Stadium's great, but it's, you know, they never, like, Lane Kiffin knows the passion here. He knows, as he mentioned, the intensity that you feel as an opponent and how uplifting the crowd in Tiger Stadium can be. And I think he has a greater appreciation of being the head coach at LSU. Not to say that Nick and Brian and Les didn't, but there's a more familiarity with what it's like here and what LSU football is all about than those three.
I think you're right, and I think he expressed that fairly eloquently yesterday at the press conference when he was talking about the fact that he's been involved in two top 10 battles.
Most intense games ever, he said.
Yeah, overtime games. One of Alabama, when he was with Alabama, and one last year with Ole Miss. And
both at Tiger Stadium.
They won in 2014 with Alabama here at Tiger Stadium, and they lost in overtime last year when Kyron Lacy made that catch from Garrett Nussmeier. But, yeah, he's talking about that. But even more and deeper than that, he appreciates and he expresses appreciation for everything that there is to know about LSU sports, mm-hmm. right? He talked about the rabid fan base. He talked about the stadium on a Saturday night. He talked about the football operations center looking like an NFL program. He talked about the recruiting base. He talked about
the brand.
Yeah, and what I took from it, and I wrote it in a column on TigerRag.com today, I took that he's saying, you know what, combine my offense with these resources and this talent, attraction, the ability to pull this talent, and we're going to set the world on fire. And I believe that. I really believe that. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask Verge, and we just simply didn't have time. But it's, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago when Verge was on the show with us the last time, he talked about how all the coaches, because we were talking about the search at that time, all the coaches know the X's and O's. And he kind of spoke a little bit about that again today. And it's not about their football knowledge. It's about how else they fit with the program, with the fans, the boosters, the donors, the administration, the staff, the school. That is where Lane Kiffin brought that energy yesterday. And it was so authentic. It was so real, you know? I know that's the same thing. But it was amazing for me to sit there and watch it, not as a fan, You know, and I couldn't clap, and I didn't want to clap like the guy behind me did over and over again.
No, I didn't sit next to Todd for obvious reasons. No, I'm just kidding. You know, he is the first head coach LSU's ever hired who's been a head coach against LSU in Tiger Stadium. I don't think that's ever happened before when you think about LSU's. There's been some that were assistants against LSU, I think. Yeah. Like Curley. Curley was an assistant.
And DiNardo, they went up there?
I don't think DiNardo coached at Vanderbilt at LSU. But he's also, I've said this a few times, he's the first real offensive coordinator, quarterback guru, play caller to be an LSU head coach. You know, so he doesn't have to hire a great offensive coordinator. He is the offensive coordinator. And Charlie Weiss has got the title, but he's kind of like an extension of Lane. That's why I wrote today, Lane's going to be coaching Ole Miss in the playoff game via Charlie Weiss.
Well, yeah. We hadn't even talked about that. So,
yeah.
Unless our listeners have seen that somewhere, they don't even know that.
Yeah, Charlie Weiss is going to be allowed to coach, be the play caller, be the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss in the playoffs.
Right.
That was the
right news
today.
Much like Bo Pelini, after he accepted the Nebraska head coaching job in 2007, he stayed on and coached LSU's defense through the national championship win against Ohio State and drew two paychecks, which I'm sure Weiss will do as well. So that's really cool. You know, LSU's being real nice to Ole Miss. they're paying Lane's bonuses and all that, so it's pretty cool.
Obviously, LSU's just doing whatever it can, you know, to make sure. One, they did everything they could to make sure Lane felt comfortable here. And, there was some speculation that Charlie Weiss may return for this, at least for the playoffs. And that would have been tough for Ole Miss. I don't know how they would have handled that if they had to throw in a whole new play caller in there.
Exactly.
That would have been really, really rough. So glad to see that's occurring for the Rebels. We'll take a break. We'll get more of the Ole Miss perspective on all of this. Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Journal will join us. Again, we're going to have Peter Burns from the SEC Network. He will join us as well. And then Jarrett Roser, Louisiana versus All Y'all, will join us to talk recruiting in hour number two. So a lot to get to. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Let's get to our very next guest. That is Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Journal. Michael, are you trying to catch your breath just like all of us here? What's it been like in Oxford here over the last 72 hours or so?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding when I say that I slept 12 hours on Monday after it was finally over.
But it's not over. It's not over, Michael.
It's never completely over, but that chapter was over. I mean, it was. I think there's a part of people here in Oxford that, you know, knew that there was the potential it could end ugly. I don't know if we knew that it would get this ugly. Really, the last 24, 48 hours, it got pretty bad. But, you know, he made his decision and Ole Miss moved on too. So, it was an adventure. I was outside the Manning Center for several hours on Sunday just trying to figure out what was going on. And the meeting moved, and then they were trying to figure out who was actually in the meeting. So there were a lot of moving parts, to say the least.
So, Michael, this is Todd. So when you go back to the weekend before you slept 12 hours on Monday, when it got really bad, quote-unquote really bad, was it mainly Kiffin striking back because he wanted to coach the team so badly, or was it the Ole Miss fans reacting to Kiffin? What was worse? Just trying to get an accurate picture, like if we were watching a movie, what was the worst scenes?
I mean, it seems like the real tipping point was when he was really determined to coach the team through the playoff, even though he had already made it clear that he was leaving and he was told no. And then he, reportedly threatened to take his offensive assistants with him immediately, and it would leave the cupboard bare for Ole Miss as they're in their first playoff. So, that got pretty ugly. I also think too is this whole thing was unfolding really after the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss wins that game, and he's noncommittal afterwards, obviously, and then he starts tweeting things, and people are trying to determine what the tweets mean. His dog tweets something out about going to the SEC championship game, and people are like, okay, man, like, where are you actually in this process, or are you staying at Ole Miss? What's going on? So I think that probably frustrated fans a little bit, just the sort of the gamesmanship that tends to happen with Lane Kiffin. But I do think that his wanting to coach the team in the playoff and being told no, and then him not taking that well, was really kind of the breaking point for a lot of people.
Okay, so if you take it from where he starts threatening to take the offensive staff, and then actually does bring most of the offensive staff, but then you fast forward to this afternoon and he appeals to the committee and wants them to know that Charlie Weiss is going to be able to coach. How did that happen from the Ole Miss perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot was made of when Charlie got on the plane, because as it was told, if he had allegedly told his assistants, if you don't get on the plane with me, you're not going to have a job. And so that was pretty intense, but obviously Charlie got on the plane. But I do think that there comes a point where cooler heads prevail, and I think Charlie for sure wanted to see this thing through. And obviously there's people saying, well, if you didn't let Lane see it through, why would you let Charlie see it through? But I think at this point, this is about finishing this thing out as best you can. And as we just saw, the rankings just came out, and Ole Miss actually moved up a spot. They moved up to 6.
Just think how much they'd have moved up if Lane had stayed.
I know. But I think it's eventually cooler heads prevail. And credit to however it did happen. Lane didn't have to let Charlie do that, and it was a good move. Kind of extending an olive branch of sorts. I think Ole Miss is pretty happy that at least came of this.
Michael, Lane says he never did threaten to do that.
Which do you believe? Yeah, Lane said that there wasn't an ultimatum. Do you believe that there was?
I mean, if you are asking me personally, I've seen it reported a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you're right.
And so
he didn't need to do that. He could have left Charlie there and hired him later. That he was, I think he was just showing his leverage. And that part of the leverage about the that wasn't really written about a lot. It was somewhat, because if a coach leaves, like a player's hurt, it can affect it. But well, let me ask you this, Michael: Do you believe the story that Lane said Monday about somebody trying to run him off the road?
Nah, no, because I know he had like a pretty big motorcade/escort. So that one's a little hard for me to believe. Maybe some embellishment there. I was not out there. I did not see that. But just given the security presence that I know he had, hard for me to see that being the case. It's all about the story, right?
So, Michael, Pete Golding, would he have been the permanent head coach regardless of what happened, or is this more of a reaction from Ole Miss to try and stabilize things, at least heading into the playoffs and then maybe forward into next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason maybe it happened this way is, this process dragged out as long as it did. And, everybody kind of started coming off the board Sunday morning with Summerall and Golish and all these guys that Ole Miss had kind of been in the mix for, maybe not knowing completely what Lane was going to do up until Saturday night, kind of put him behind the eight ball a little bit. I think a lot of us here have thought that Pete Golding was going to be a head coach at some point. He's a great recruiter. He's a really good defensive coordinator. Guys will run through a wall for him. I just don't know if we thought it would happen now, but I think just with the circumstances being what they were, that obviously you think he can do the job in 2026 and beyond, but you're trying to win a national championship right now. This is an 11-1 team. It's making history for this program, making the playoff for the first time. So I think just for the sake of continuity and with signing day coming up and all those sorts of things, I think that keeping things as quote unquote status quo was probably not just a move for the future, but I think it probably helps them for trying to accomplish their goals right now too.
Right. So you mentioned signing day. I think there were four commitments from Ole Miss that had backed off the commitment when Lane left. And I just was curious, has there been any more activity at that level?
I think I've seen four or five, I think was the last number I saw, which is, you know, it's not surprising, especially for some of the guys who are offensive players. If, you know, if you're an offensive guy and you committed to Ole Miss, it was probably because of Lane. So, you know, that makes sense. So, but that's what I've seen so far. I know there was a tight end that decommitted who was probably the highest touted of them. He was a four-star guy, so I know that one probably hurts Ole Miss. But
yeah, he committed to LSU, right?
Yeah. So I have to imagine Pete Golding's. You know, he hasn't had his intro press conference yet. That's tomorrow. And you know, one, you can get two birds with one stone if you do it tomorrow and it's signing day. But two, I have to imagine he's probably on the road recruiting pretty hard to try to get to keep the class together as much as he can.
Talking to Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Journal. Let me ask you real quick, Michael. If Ole Miss was not a playoff contender as this season ended and LSU still had the offer out to Lane, do you think that would have been a much quicker decision by Lane? And my question is it was all the delay and consternation. It seemed like it was more about just the playoff than Lane staying at Ole Miss. Is that accurate?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think that it's funny. I've had this conversation with a few people that, you know, this season kind of caught people off guard. This wasn't supposed to be the playoff year. That was supposed to be last year.
Right.
When they had, you know, one of the best rosters in school history and they lost those heartbreakers. This was supposed to be like an 8-4, 9-3-ish team with, you know, 18 new starters. So I think it did catch people off guard. I don't want to say it caught Lane off guard, but you know, if the LSU job came open, it probably, I don't think he imagined, you know, coming to the season that it was going to be this sort of conversation. But, you know, I think that he wanted to see this thing through as best he could, but ultimately he did what was best for him and his family.
Michael, appreciate your time. We'll see. Good luck for Ole Miss in the college football playoffs, and we'll see what happens. But we appreciate your time and all your help here over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Journal. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Tiger Rag Executive Editor Todd Horn and the editor Glenn Gilbo. We are inside the Super Chevy Dealers Studios. It appears most LSU fans are fully supportive of Lane Kiffin as the new head coach for LSU. But
I don't know how you couldn't be after watching that press conference yesterday if you're an LSU fan.
So he certainly won the press conference in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Jerry DiNardo won the press conference.
That's great. That's great. Bring back the magic again.
But the what you hear, and maybe it's just it's a bad take or it's a lazy take, if you would, is what has he really won other than two Conference USA championships? He's never beaten Alabama. How many big games has he truly won? I mean, I guess he's beaten LSU a couple of times. Beat Oklahoma this year.
He's won some big games this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the biggest knock against him is the big game performance at, you know, I think he's like 2-10, and
similar to Brian Kelly. And you know, you were talking about it before we had Michael Katz on about, you know, you take what he's been able to do at Ole Miss. Now you bring him to LSU, and he's got more resources, so he should be more successful. Well, that was the same theory theory with Brian Kelly.
But the biggest difference between the two is Brian Kelly was always about process, and we've got to build, and we've got to develop, and he wasn't adjusted because he was hit with the NIL. Kelly was not an early adopter of the NIL.
He was
not
a fan.
Neither was LSU.
Yeah, but
he was the leader and should have made him.
That comment Kiffin made yesterday when he was talking about this, he goes, "Hey, we look at the box and we figure out how to get out of the box," or something to that effect. That's true. And when you bring the offensive scheming that he does with that that attitude towards the transfer portal and the NIL, the general management of the roster, the team, the money, the importance he places on that. That's what college football is right now. Like it or not, that's what it is. Brian Kelly did not fit that. So if you want to talk about fit, that's what Brian Kelly didn't fit. And Brian Kelly was more of a developer. You know, if you really want to break it down, Brian Kelly wanted to have a strong offensive line, which he failed miserably at, with two tight ends and a strong running game, which he failed miserably at, and a strong defense, which he ultimately started to get towards, but for the most part failed miserably at. Kiffin, like we were saying earlier, Kiffin understands LSU. He understands Louisiana as far as recruiting. He understands what he needs to do. I'm not saying he's not going to make mistakes, but he's less prone to make mistakes, and he's more suited to today's college football game, which I think matches what LSU's hungry for.
He's ahead of the curve while Brian Kelly was behind the curve.
That's exactly,
exactly right. And he became the portal master, and now he doesn't need the portal as badly as he did at Ole Miss. But he'll still use it, but he'll be able to have better recruiting classes. And you know, he never really liked to recruit, but I think being at LSU is going to change that, and he's been recruiting really hard since he drove up Sunday night to the building, right? Yeah, and I think he realized that the portal may not be the answer completely, because he had the number one portal class in 24, and he had a disappointing season. So, and from what Saban and Carroll have told him, and Jimmy Sexton, you know, I think he's going to try to take full advantage of the players close to Baton Rouge and in North Louisiana, in New Orleans and Houston, and he's going to try to recruit really well, which Kelly, I think that was the main thing Kelly did not do. He did not recruit as well as he should have as the head coach here.
Well, I think the other thing that's really important is that Lane Kiffin is 50 years old, and he has a lot of energy, and he has a lot of desire.
Upside.
He's hungry to win.
Yeah.
And Brian Kelly was not.
No, he was not. And Woodward should have saw that.
How concerned are you that 4 or 5 years from now he'll be looking to scratch the itch again?
I'm not concerned about that. I expect it.
He'll be doing well.
Yeah, and I expect that he will be like, oh, well, I'd like to rewrite my NFL chapter.
That could happen.
Or maybe he's beaten DeBoer in the SEC championship a few times, Kalen DeBoer, and they fire him and they want to hire him, and maybe that's an itch he wants to scratch.
Or he could go to Texas.
Yeah.
Or San Francisco 49ers head coach.
But I think that's
or the Saints.
Calgary Stampeders. I mean, wherever you want to go.
If you're an LSU fan and that happens, that may hurt your feelings a la Ole Miss right now. But that's the game.
That's the game. And LSU lost that when Saban went to Miami. But he set LSU up for the rest of the next couple of many decades.
Hey, we got one more segment of Tiger Rag Radio for hour number one. And then Peter Burns over at the SEC Network will be back after this from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Looks like much of, especially on the offensive side of the football, much of Lane Kiffin's staff at Ole Miss is coming to LSU. What kind of role do you think Frank Wilson will have, or will he have, on the next staff?
I still think if he's going to have a role, it's going to be some type of associate coach,
recruiting coordinator
type.
Could he
thing.
Be more of a personnel guy?
He could be if he wants to be, but I don't know. I don't believe Frank Wilson is too happy with the way things have progressed to this
Why
early
do you say
point.
That?
Because I think he wanted a bigger, different role.
Like a position coach.
Right.
But he's not going to be running backs coach, probably.
Well, they've already brought in a running backs coach.
Yeah, and you know, you can't – when a coach gets fired, most of the time the new coach brings most of his staff in. That's just the way it is. You know, you can't keep more than a couple of guys in their role. But Lane used to coach with Frank at Tennessee, And he realizes the job Frank's done keeping the staff together. I mean, keeping the recruiting class together.
Which is being torn apart on the eve of National Signing Day.
Yeah, well, but that's because Lane got here, maybe. Lane's saying we don't want these guys, I think.
Well, I think
he's bringing in more guys.
The NIL dynamics are changing. Money's being shuffled around.
Yeah, and he's got more of it. So, you know, that's part of it.
We might be looking at exactly why Ole Miss was successful and has 4-10-win seasons recently, and LSU struggled.
Yeah.
And that may be roster development and roster evaluation and how to spend their money.
And Lane certainly has picked better players than Brian Kelly did. And you know, Lane is having Frank Wilson coach the Bulls. So I think there's going to be a spot for Frank at LSU, and there should be a good spot for him, even if it's not a position coach situation.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you think it's a slam dunk? Corey Raymond is on the staff. He sent out, I don't want to call it a cryptic tweet, but it was just weird that he put out a tweet today that showed basically his resume of the players that he has developed. I mean, why would he do that if he didn't think his job was potential?
Probably feeling a little bit insecure with the constant change that's going on, and it's been rapid. I mean, it's been like minute after minute of change. And that's probably unnerving for anybody just from a human perspective. I think that Corey Raymond is the most important person on that defense, the most important to keep.
If I had to pick one guy to keep, he would definitely be the top guy.
Yeah, and if nothing else, because of the relationship he has with DJ Pickett, although it's deeper than that.
He's a good coach and a good recruiter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And then Austin Thomas, I don't know. It doesn't look good for him. In my view,
I don't see a role for him unless it's changing to some other associate AD role type of situation.
Yeah, they got how many personnel people do you need? My goodness.
It's run like an NFL organization now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but Kiffin has already brought his general manager with
him.
That's
what
I'm
saying.
He's already brought his recruiting.
And Kiffin and Austin left Kiffin. You know, Kiffin might not appreciate
that. There might be
a
little bit of bad blood there.
Or maybe it's simple as I feel better with this new guy than I did with when you were there.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Very interesting. We'll be learning a lot of stuff.
It's a shame Austin Thomas hasn't come on the show and talked to us about
you know, it reminds me of when DiNardo took over, he had a Vanderbilt player at Vanderbilt that he didn't get along with, and that player transferred to LSU, and then the next year DiNardo was back at LSU and he said, "Hello, I'm your worst nightmare." It was some kicker, but he kept him on the team. So that might be how Austin is now.
Peter Burns from the SEC Network, we'll talk to him about the coaching carousel and if he had his popcorn out on Saturday watching Marty Smith and then watching all the developments on Sunday. I know he does a radio show on Sunday mornings, but so we'll talk with him and a lot more still to come here. We'll get into the recruiting aspect as well as we are on the eve of the early signing period. So stay tuned. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.